Okay, good morning everybody. Continue where we left off. We were talking about what melachos one should refrain from doing on an Erev Shabbos. Essentially, the issur of melacha on Erev Shabbos is not really related to the lamentes melachos like Shabbos itself, but rather it's related to a person getting involved in doing some activity that will distract him from the purpose of the day, and that is Friday is the day that you're supposed to get ready for Shabbos and prepare in a way that you're going to have proper covered Shabbos. So you got to have showered, and you got to be clean, you got to clean the house, and you got to have food. More important than everything, as the top of the list that the pasuk can bring, is to have good food for Shabbos. Therefore, we don't want a person to get over involved in other activities. So we said that it's mina mincha ulamalo. That means from the last quarter of the day. Basically, a little bit after the last quarter of the day, 2.5 hours before Shkia, is when one should stop doing these type of melachos, this type of work. Someone who is an employee, so he is mechuyev, he's obligated to work for his employer, he can't just walk out without a prior agreement. The correct way is to make a prior agreement with his employer on when he can leave. Otherwise, he will leave to be home about 10-15 minutes before candle lighting so that he can do the bare minimum. An ani who does not have enough food for Shabbos can work till close to Shabbos so that he can earn enough to earn something, at least. I don't know if it's going to be enough, but at least carry on earning so that he can use that money to have food for Shabbos. Then we have a davar ha'oved, which means that if you avoid from doing this activity, it's going to cause a loss, then you're allowed to do such an activity even in the afternoon, even close to Shabbos. Something where the activity is a melacha, that it appears, it's noticeable that the purpose that a person is doing is for the sake of Shabbos, that is mutter the whole day. Doing sponja to clean your house is clearly done for the Chvoy Shabbos, and therefore doesn't have to be done in the morning. It doesn't have to be done midday, it doesn't have to be done afternoon either. But if you do, there's no problem of that type of melacha, because it's clear that it's done for Shabbos. Not only that, you can even do this for other people, and you can even be paid for it. We discussed before about being paid for melacha in the late afternoon. As long as you stop in time and chas v'shalom, don't go over time and get involved in issur melachos. Therefore, a person may have a haircut on Friday afternoon, in the late afternoon, and the barber may keep his store open till the very end of the day. When is he going to get ready for Shabbos? That's a good question. He has to take that into account as well. But essentially, from the point of view of Malacha, since it's clear that people, the haircuts that are given for the sake of Shabbos, then the person may give and receive haircuts even in the late afternoon. If a person is doing a melacha that doesn't look particular that it has to do with Shabbos, for example, sewing, but you know it's for Shabbos because it's in your Shabbos clothing, so then we say that if taka you're sewing for the sake of Shabbos, you're doing alterations or something like that. If you're doing it for yourself, then you can do it even in the afternoon. If you're doing it for others, then since it's not nikah that it's done for Shabbos, then you should not take money for that and should do it for free. So that will be an example of something where it's tzarich Shabbos, it's needed for Shabbos, but it's not noticeable that this type of melacha that you're doing is something that's usually Shabbos related. As you said, haircuts, people know people have haircuts for Shabbos, but sewing clothing can be done any day of the week, therefore it's not nikah, therefore we have this restriction that you can't be paid for such melacha on Friday afternoon, but it can be done. Then things that are not time consuming, there are small, short activities that do not have long duration, so then also there are no restrictions on them. An example that it brings is watering your flowers. Obviously, we're not talking about watering your 10-acre field, but you water your pot plants or something like that, or water the flowers in the garden, and you've got a hose, and something that generally doesn't take too long, so that then there's no problem of doing it any time on a Friday. Or another example it brings is sewing on a button. Before, when we spoke about sewing, would be alterations or making clothing or something like that. But sewing on a button, something that takes a couple of minutes, not much longer than that. Even an amateur can do it in a couple of minutes. There will be mutter even late on Friday afternoon. And also writing a short letter message or something like that. Those days it was writing, he calls it a ksivas mereus. You're writing a letter, but it's not business related. You're writing a letter of friendship. So that, he says, is mutter to do on a Friday afternoon. I guess that the same thing would then be whether you write, typing up a message or typing an email or something like that. I would say that the person has to worry something else. You turn on one of your screens, and on Shabbos, you have to be careful not to get caught up with other things that are going on that screen. But essentially, that's not part of melachos that are considered that they have duration and will be awesome. These things that are arai, that are temporary and short-lived, you can do them even for pay. If a person is doing something which, an activity which does take a long time, then, for example, gardening, which is not just watering, but it's gardening, you're doing the lawn, or you're spending the afternoon weeding, or something like that, then those things would be asur from the mincha, from mincha time, and this mincha ktana, which is 2.5 hours before shkia and onwards, even if you do, if you're doing it for your personal self and not for someone else, and even if you were doing it for someone else for free, that doesn't make it mutter. These type of activities become asur on Erev Shabbos. Things that are categorized as maso matan. Maso matan is not really melacha. It is buying and selling. Pragmatia, sometimes it's called business. They are not considered as a melacha. In fact, the issur of buying and selling on Shabbos is only a gzeirah d'rabbanan that a person might come to write. Ezra HaSofer was very makbid about it when he saw that people opened their stores on Shabbos and, you know, they didn't trade with money. They just, here's items and you give me something back. They switched or they bought a credit and for another time. And he saw the whole Shabbos was disappearing. People were just going to the market and carrying on business as usual. And what happened to Shabbos? So therefore he was goyzer that have to close the stores. But essentially, so the Meda became a drabonon to not do business, and obviously in ways that there's no malacha. If you're going to be writing, it will be a malacha, it will be awesome. So what about on Friday? On Friday, business is mutter. You want to trade on the stock market, you want to go shopping or something like that. Essentially, there is no isur malacha of that on Erev Shabbos. The minhag seems to be that people close their shops late in the day, close to Shabbos, and Lemaisa, the Rabbanim said it's better to close a little earlier, say about an hour before Shabbos to close the stores. We see in the later generations the Rabbanim felt that people were not careful about this, that sometimes the stores were open late and people got home late and started doing this and ended up doing preparations for Shabbos after Shkia. Therefore, there were magdir, all sorts of gedorim, that people should close the stores a little earlier. But midin, melach on Erev Shabbos, it not considered as one of those melachos that should be asur, but rather it's a question of a person budgeting his time correctly so that they can be finished with his Shabbos preparations before Shabbos comes in and not have to do preparations after Shabbos comes in, which could be a problem of chil Shabbos. I mean, it depends what preparations. Having a cold shower is not asur, but it's not really covered Shabbos. Just as an aside, we'll mention that Erev Pesach is different. Generally, Legabe Erev Yom Tov and Erev Shabbos and Halakos are the same. Whatever restrictions you have on Erev Shabbos, you have on Erev Yom Tov. What we spoke about previously, Legabe, how much you eat on an Erev Shabbos applies to Erev Yom Tov, and what Halakos you can't do in Erev Yom Tov apply the same. Erev Pesach is different. Erev Pesach was the day that they brought the carbon Pesach. The carbon was brought in the afternoon, and the Mishnah says that some people had the minhag not to do melacha in the morning of Erev Pesach. Some people had the minhag that they could do melachas on the morning of Erev Pesach, but everybody agrees in the afternoon of Erev Pesach you're not allowed to do melachas, and therefore it is different from other Erev Yom Tov, in that although today pretty much the minhag is that we do melachas on Erev Pesach in the morning, but everybody agrees you don't do in the afternoon, the restrictions there are different to Erev Shabbos, and it is more like a situation of Chol HaMoed. Tzoruch HaMoed would be mutter, and Davar HaAvod would be mutter, but otherwise we don't allow such things, and therefore there's a lot more chumras. One just shouldn't do laundry on a Friday, but even if you're doing laundry in a way that's mutter, or you're relying on those opinions that you do laundry in a machine or something like that, on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, that should not be done. Haircut should be done in the morning, cutting nails should be done in the morning. If you forgot to cut nails in the morning, you can do it in the afternoon. And again, a poor person who does not have enough money to make a seder properly can work in the afternoon if it's going to help him with his income, that he will be able to have a better seder. Now, here's an interesting discussion, and that is, what about putting an activity into action and then letting it finish off by itself. An interesting example brought in Chazal is loading a water mill. You had a stream of water with a wheel that was turned by the flow of the water. That wheel in turn turned the mill, and there was a trough above the grinding stones that you filled with grain, and the grain slowly through a hole went into the mill and got caught between the grinding stones, was turned into flour, came out the sides and went to a bag, and basically you could fill the trough with grain in the morning, and if the trough is big enough, then it will just, and the mill would turn with the power of the water. So there's nothing that you needed to do. You just left it there and would go on for hours on end, and you'd come back later and you'd have your flour ready. So can you do that on Erev Shabbos? Can you set up your water mill on Erev Shabbos knowing that it's going to work into the night? Essentially, we are of the opinion that such a thing is mutter, it's like a Beshama Beshila, whether there's such a thing as Shvisas Kalim. We know that our animals are not allowed to do Melach on Shabbos. Exactly what it means we can discuss separately, but we're not allowed to let our animals do Melach on Shabbos. Animals, of course, can eat, and even if eating means pulling out grass, which is koitzer, they can. But we can't put, let's say, a load onto an animal and make an animal carry it. You can't get an animal to pull a plow on Shabbos. But what about our Kalim, those things that are none have no life in them, and they do Melach on Shabbos? Beshamai asks it, Beshilo says it's mutter, and that's how we paskin, and therefore there's nothing wrong with our kelim doing Melach. That's why our lights burn. We leave our lights on over Shabbos, we leave our air conditioning on over Shabbos, and a lot of other things too. Our fridges are running, and our freezers are running, and sometimes our stove and our platter, and who knows what, because we paskin like Beshilo, that there's no problem to let our utensils do things that are also on Shabbos. And therefore, essentially, anything that I set up before Shabbos, now that it continues on its own, I have nothing to worry about. I'm not doing anything. The action was put into place before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, I'm allowed to do such an action. Let it finish on Shabbos. The restriction on this is, what do people think that's going on? Will it cause a Chilul Shabbos if people see this happening? How come a Chilul Shabbos? Either people see what's going on and they don't understand, or they hear something and they have questions about what's going on. So we go back to our case of the water mill. The water mill apparently was a very noisy affair. The mill made a lot of noise when it ground up the flour. And this wasn't a very common thing, that people loaded their water mills on Friday and let it work into Shabbos. And therefore, people will walk past the mill and hear the grinding and the vibrations and everything that's going on. And they say, oh no, so-and-so is working on Friday night. And therefore, people will misunderstand. We're going to say that this is a zilus of the Shabbos. It is a zilzul in the covenant of Shabbos to allow such a thing to happen. And it is also a maris ayin that people think that he's working on Shabbos. If there is a loss involved, I can't give an example offhand, but if there's a loss involved, that if you would stop, have to stop what's going on, or not even start what's going on, then we're going to be meikel, because after all, this is more of a derabbanan, where we're going to be meikel in a situation of financial loss. Something which everybody knows is set before Shabbos, but yet it still makes noise on Shabbos. So people don't suspect that he went and made it on Shabbos. They know that he set up before Shabbos, so that's mutter to have go on Shabbos, even if it makes noise. So the example given is a clock that chimes on the hour, or more often, doesn't make a difference. A clock that's going to chime at certain times, or for that matter, an alarm clock. There's also, people don't have so many chiming clocks there, but an alarm clock or something like that. People know that this is set way in advance, and the fact that it rings, your alarm clock rings at 8 o'clock on Shabbos morning, doesn't mean you set it on Shabbos, it means you set it on Erev Shabbos. Or if your clock is chiming, it means you wound up your clock before Shabbos, and it carries on for a day or two or three. And therefore, there's no question of what people will think. People understand that this is normal, and therefore it's allowed to have such a thing active on Shabbos. And essentially, we're going to now discuss people's habits to know what's considered mutter and what's considered also legabe, leaving something running from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos. So some practical examples would be, legabe this is, if you have a pot of raw food, you can put it onto the stove just before Shabbos comes in and let it cook through Shabbos. So the Maisa Bishul, the Issa Bishul, takes place on Shabbos. But I wasn't a part of what happened. I did my bit on Friday, and therefore that is considered as mutter. There are other restrictions. We're worried about that a person might walk past the stove and adjust it or check what's inside and stir and all those type of things. So there's Gzeiros de Rabbanon that if you're going to leave food on a stove and it is not fully cooked, that you have to that you have to do Gruf Oktuma, you have to cover the fire, or you have to empty the oven of the fuel inside and only cooks from the residual heat. That's all Gzeiros Chachomim, so that the person shouldn't come to make a mistake by leaving the food on the fire. But from Medine Bishul, from the Isur of cooking, that's no problem if you place it on the fire before Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. So too, if you have a watering system that you open up the system before Shabbos and then it carries on irrigating your field through Shabbos. What was common in the olden days was they had irrigation canals that brought water from the local river into the fields, and then you opened up the gate and the water flowed into the field and flooded the field, and that's how you irrigated it. So if you had such a thing, you could open it up on Friday, and the fact that it's going to be doing irrigation, which is a melacha of Zoreh, is not a problem on Shabbos, and you can let that happen. Legabe sprinklers, there's a discussion. Some people hold that sprinklers are not considered as something that people understand that you set up before Shabbos. They think you open it now and they spray. Therefore, if someone sees a sprinkler going on your lawn, they think, oh, you must have opened up now. And some people say, no, today already things have changed. We know if you go for a walk in the Ilan Park in the summer, chances are that the sprinklers are set to go according to Murphy's Law exactly as you walk through the park. And you know there was no one there who set it to go right now. It just seems to be just the guy who set the clock seems to know exactly when you're walking through the park. But everybody knows it's attached to a clock. So therefore, if the sprinklers go off in the park or sprinklers go off in someone's lawn, it is now accepted practice that people have digital watering systems with timers and all the rest. And therefore, he's not actively turning it on now. You don't have to worry about the fact that it sprays and makes noise, because people understand the sermon before. There's different opinions on this, whether you can or can't do it. I would then say that something which is a ripper system, which doesn't make noise, and no one's aware of when it goes on and when it goes off, because you don't see, you don't hear, so then that for sure, all days would hold that you can have your dripper system running on Shabbos if you've set it from before Shabbos. A person can put eggs into an incubator on Erev Shabbos, even though if it's going to cause them to hatch on Shabbos, it's not a problem. As long as it doesn't cause, then it's got to take certain actions on Shabbos to make sure that everything is fine. Of those things which we don't allow would be like putting a load of laundry into the washing machine. Washing machines make noise, they spin, they turn, they tumble, and all the rest. And it's not common that people turn on their washing machines on a Friday and let them run into Shabbos. We don't usually hear washing machines running on Shabbos, and therefore someone who decides to do it, that's considered as a problem of Afsha Milsa. It makes noise, and the noise then becomes a Zilus at Shabbos. Lechora, the same thing would apply to a dryer, would apply to a dishwasher. Some people hold that a dishwasher is not noisy. I've heard others say that if you have it in a Mokum Tzanua, because since the whole Isur here is an Isur of Maris Ayin in a Derabbanon, so though we have a rule when it comes to Maris Ayin, we say that when Chachamim asset something in public, you're not allowed to do it in private as well. We actually make a distinction on depending on what the suspicion is. If the problem is that people might come to think that you did an Isur D'oraisa, then you're not allowed to do it even private. But if it's a question of maybe you were over an Isur D'rabbanan, then you're allowed to do it in private. An example would be hanging up laundry on Shabbos is Asur, because people would think that you did the laundry on Shabbos. Therefore, wet clothing, whether it got wet from the laundry or wet from the rain or wet from who knows what, but wet clothing should not be hung on the line on Shabbos under any circumstance. If you need to hang up wet clothing, put it in a place where it is not normally hung to dry. But to put it up in a place where it's normally hung to dry is a Maris Ayin that people think you might have laundered it today. Laundering is an Isur D'oraisa of Malabim. And therefore, even in your bathroom with the door closed and no one's in your house, you may not hang up your wet coat on the normal laundry rack that you have in your bathroom, but rather hang it on the shower curtain or hang it on a different hook or something like that, but not on the regular laundry rack, because the Maris Ayin that we have not to hang up laundry isn't an Isur D'oraisa. But if the Isur is a D'rabbanan Isur, you've set your fax machine to run on Shabbos and it beeps, or you set your dishwasher to run on Shabbos, there, what's the Isur? The Isur is that it makes noise, and the noise is Zilus of the Shabbos. So it's not that the people think that you've gone and you've done a melacha, that you've actually washed the dishes and boiled the water in order to do the Oyv Mavasha, but rather it's a Zilus of the Shabbos. The noise that it makes is the noise that people are not used to hearing on Shabbos, and therefore there's a Zilzo in the covered of Shabbos to have such a machine working. So therefore, if I do it in private, it would be mutter. If I've heard people say that if you have a washing machine, a dishwasher, that you want to load after the meal on Friday night so that you have fresh, clean dishes for the meal on Shabbos morning, if it's in a place and no one's going to hear it, even though it does make noise, then you don't have to worry about the noise. There is a separate problem before, this was just said for the sake of an example to explain what's also because of the noise and whether in Bitsini it can be make or there's a separate issue with dishwashers, and that is you have to watch out for switches and mukta and all other issues on when loading the machine. How do you open the door? How do you close the door? When is the power going to go on? When is the power not go on? Very often, if you have a time switch on it, so then it's not going to, you have to press the button to get it to start. So you have to set the cycle to start, then if the power goes off, then you're going to be loading the machine, you're going to close the door, and then the power goes on again. It's complicated, and it has other issues involved that might be more problematic. Therefore, I'm not advising or suggesting that people should load their dishwashers on a Friday night and set it up with a time switch before Shabbos and then have it that the dishwasher runs in a place where no one hears it or sees it and have your fresh dishes for Shabbos morning, because there are other problems involved. I have heard Rabbanim giving this aid for people who need it. But one should get guidance to know what other issues are involved. But I would just bring it in as an example of something which makes noise, and therefore we avoid using it, even if it's set up before Shabbos, and if it's done B'tzina, there would be a hetet. Other examples of leaving things on from Erev Shabbos is a radio, and Shmir Shabbos points out, obviously, if it's a Rachmana Litzlan, a radio station that is run by Yidden, so that will be even more problematic because it's Chilul Hashem that a person is listening to someone who's mamish Mechalel Shabbos every moment. But even if it's a non-Jewish radio station, the noise of the radio is not something that is common in Jewish homes on Shabbos, and therefore if a person leaves his radio on from Friday to Shabbos, it's a problem. Zilzo on Shabbos, so too if he would make come on with time switch. That's what we have, a gal shaket, as they call it. We have become familiar with that recently, is exactly that. It's shaket. It's quiet. It only makes noise when you need to hear it, and that noise is for the safety of the people who are listening to it, you know, to go into the safe room when you can come out of the safe room. So that obviously is different. Using a Shabbos clock is accepted as something that is mutter to do. You set it on Shabbos, and therefore, even though something might come on Shabbos, go off on Shabbos, as long as it's not a zilzul, as we said, it's not something that makes noise in a way that people are not familiar with it, then you may use your Shabbos clock on Shabbos. And so we use our Shabbos clock for our lights, no noise, and we use it for our air conditioning, and even though air conditioning is going to cause the compressor to come on, but this is a accepted practice, and everybody knows if they walk past your house and they hear the compressor running, they don't say, oh, he turned off his air conditioning this morning, but rather than say, oh, good for him, he's going to be sitting in a comfortable home over Shabbos. They tell the story that they went to the Chazon Ish and asked him about how can you leave a generator, a Shabbos generator, if you don't want to use electricity from the Chavas Chashmah, how can you leave the generator running from Erev Shabbos into Shabbos? Hurry, the generator is quite noisy. The Chazon Ish's answer was, that noise is calling out Shabbos, Shabbos. That noise in and of itself is a Kavod Shabbos and not a Zilzul Shabbos. An interesting example of something that one should not do on a Erev Shabbos, even though there's no zilzul of Shabbos as such involved, is what we call pouring of concrete. Concrete needs to remain moist during its hardening stages, as the concrete doesn't dry and gets hard. Concrete is a chemical reaction, and when it mixes with water, then the chemical reaction goes into place and causes the concrete to harden. So it can harden underwater as well, so it's chemical to harden, not the drying. As it hardens and dries out, it's going to crack, and therefore needs to remain moist. And therefore, anybody who knows anything about concrete, they will tell you that when you pour concrete for the next 24 hours, you've got to keep it moist. They usually hose it down or something like that to keep water and moisture so that it shouldn't crack. So, and a piece of advice is don't pour concrete on a Friday, because you're going to need to water it on Shabbos, and that would be osur. So don't put yourself into a situation of nisayon that you're going to have to hold back and see it cracking and say, well, there's nothing left. So those are pretty much the things that you can't do on Erev Shabbos, because we want to leave a person with time to get ready for Shabbos, and the various things that you can do because you just setting them up on Friday and have to watch how it's going to be on Shabbos. Now there's some other things that we need to do on an Erev Shabbos in order to be our mitzvah of Kovet Shabbos. Need also is relative. It's a mitzvah to have to be washed, to have one's whole body washed with warm water on Friday Lichol Shabbos. Interesting, the Lashon is mitzvah, doesn't say chayev. It's not that you're over an avera if you didn't do it. It's not like you have to take Lulav and Esther, but you have to hear shofar. But it's a mitzvah. This is the way to be Mekayim on your Shabbos. You want to fulfill the mitzvah of on your Shabbos. You want to prepare in advance and you need to wash yourself. The mitzvah is to wash one's whole body and to wash with warm water, and if possible to wash one's hair as well. I saw that if the water is not warm, it's a suffix whether you're Mekayim this mitzvah or not. What about lukewarm water? I guess it depends on the ability to clean and how lukewarm it is. I don't think if a person is suffering from excess heat in the middle of a chamsin, that a person has to go take a hot bath. It adds more to the heat if he rather wants a lukewarm shower. I don't think they're lacking in Kovet Shabbos. If a person is unable to wash his whole body, whether it's physical restraint due to health or due to the weather or due to lack of who knows, whatever it might be, then at least he should wash his hands, his face, and his feet. Ponav yadav haraglav. It's interesting, I saw it, but there's a discussion whether feet need to be washed today because we wear shoes, so we don't walk in the mud. Our feet are not covered in mud. So whether in modern times feet are included in the bare essentials of face, hands, and feet. Today, I think people will tell you, true, maybe 200-300 years ago they were saying, well, we wear shoes and we're not as dirty as those who went around barefoot, but today we have a different level of hygiene, and the shoe allows for the foot to perspire, we consider our feet to be something dirty and therefore would be right to Shabbos. There are those who also have the minhag to go to the mikveh on Friday. Another mitzvah on Friday for the sake of Shabbos is to have a haircut. If a person needs a haircut, there's a mitzvah to try leave it to the end of the week so that it looks like he's doing it before Shabbos. I didn't say Friday, I said the end of the week. The reason for that is that we try to do it on a Friday, but we don't do it at the cost of other things. If everybody went to the barber on Friday, then there would never be time for all of us. And also, sometimes you don't have time to go, so you can do it earlier in the week. Preferably, it should be done at the end of the week, not the beginning of the week. The practicalities may be taken into account. So, to shaving in a way that's mutter to shave should be done lichvoy Shabbos. And another thing brought down to do lichvoy Shabbos is to cut one's nails. The nails in particular is brought down that you should not cut your nails on a Thursday. The reason for that is that nails, the growth of nails can be noticed already on the third day, and therefore they lose their fresh look by the time Shabbos comes, and therefore it's lacking in Kovet Shabbos. If you cut your nails on a Thursday, that by Friday, by Shabbos, you're not looking fresh anymore. If you cut them on Friday, they look fresh. What about Thursday night? Yesh v'yesh. There are those who say that that Thursday night is like Friday, because halachically the night goes after day. So others say that for this point, Thursday is Thursday and Friday is Friday. Thursday night is still Thursday. Again, it depends on practicality. If there's no time on a Friday and you have to do it on a Thursday, then obviously Thursday night is better than Thursday day. But it's also possible. There's no issue to do it on Thursday, just you're not Mekayim the Kovet Shabbos by doing it on Thursday. If there's Yom Tov on Thursday, then of course you're going to, on Friday, then of course you're going to cut your nails on a Thursday. There's no issue, you may do it, you may cut, if there's Yom Tov on Thursday, Friday, you cut your nails on a Wednesday also. So the person who cuts his nails on a Sunday, that's also not an issue, it's just he's not Mekayim the mitzvah of Kovet Shabbos by cutting it in the beginning of the week. You lose out on the idea of Kovet Shabbos. I did it early in the week, but there's no issue involved. The nails have an interesting point, is that we see a lot of interesting halachas have to do with nails, such as one doesn't cut hands and feet nails on the same day, one shouldn't cut one's nails in the order that they are, from across one finger to the next. It's actually brought down what order you should do it in, starting with the left hand. We start with the fourth finger. If you count the thumb as finger number one. So then you do the fourth finger, you do the second finger, then you do the fifth, the third, and then the first. And then after you do the left hand, you do the right hand, and then you start with the second finger, the fourth, the first, the third, and the fifth. Again, numbering them from the thumb being number one and the pinky being number five. And I'll give a simon. On the right hand, it's debhaga, and on the left hand, it's bedaga, which each letter is referring to the different bases, two, and hey is five, etc. You get, but that's, the idea is not to cut them in order. Essentially, these are not brought down as dinim that you have to keep. It's a inyonim with kpeda, and those who are makbid are makbid, and those who are not makbid are not makbid. If someone is going to the mikveh and needs to cut their nails for going to the mikveh, then there's no restriction of cutting hands and feet on the same day. We say, shom b'mitzvah le'yeda davara. They say the Arizal cut his hand nails and his feet nails on the same day. So some say that means he wasn't makbid, and others say, well, it's because he was going to the mikveh, and therefore he wanted them all done before he went to the mikveh. So there's different ways of looking at it. Some say that he wasn't makbid on the order. Some say he was. Some say the maram wasn't makbid. Some say he was. So essentially, a lot has to do with the way a person, the minhagim that is being makabel, how he sees it. It's not, these are not surei kares chas v'shalom. And it is, what is considered also is to throw your nails on the floor, to cut them and let them fall. The lashon chas chachamim is that someone who lets his nails fall is considered a rosha, because a pregnant woman might step on them and miscarry. But a lot of the poskim say that that is only if they are left in the place that they fell. If they're swept up, then, or moved from the room, removed from the place, removed from the room, then they don't have the same danger. A couple of other things, but we're running out of time, so we'll come back to that. We'll come back to this week. And with that, we're going to wish everybody a wonderful week, and in addition, we'll continue with these halachos.
Thank you.